Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The hymn that we just sang, Onward, Christian Soldier. It was written in the year 1865. But did you know this hymn that you just sang was never supposed to be published? It was never supposed to be published, even in adult hymnals. When asked about it, the author, Reverend Sabine Baring Gould, its author, who was a curate in Yorkshire County in England, spoke the following. He said this: it was written in a very simple fashion. Whit Monday is a great day for school festivals in Yorkshire. And one Whit Monday, it was arranged that our school should join its forces with that of a neighboring village. I wanted the children to sing when marching from one village to the other, but I couldn't think of anything quite suitable. So I sat up at night, resolved to write something myself. Onward, Christian Soldier was the result. It was written in great haste, and I'm afraid some of the rhymes are faulty. Certainly nothing has surprised me more than its great popularity. So this hymn with humble origins, Onward, Christian Soldier, and it was never supposed to be published. Yet a year later, in the year 1866, it appeared in a periodical, and soon it came into use in many English-speaking hymnals across the board. Some individuals suspect it came in popularity here in America. Why? Because the year 1864 comes before the year 1865. And if you know anything about the year 1864 in American history, that is the year that the American Civil War drew to a close. And it tapped into this soldier mentality, both in young and the old alike. So when they heard this hymn, Onward, Christian Soldier, they thought about their years of serving in the military, whether it was in the Confederacy or in armies alike. So in today's epistle reading, we wrap up our series looking at the letter of Ephesians. Paul wraps up his letter by writing about a Christian soldier. Many people believe that Paul is speaking about this soldier that is the Roman soldier, because they believe that Paul is writing down an illustration from the Roman soldiers that he saw guarding him while in prison in Ephesus or elsewhere. Others argue that the other image that you see, that Old Testament soldier, is what Paul is speaking about. Because unlike the Romans, the old, it's called Roman soldier, would often have shin guards, and he would often carry a spear, not a sword. So that's why many scholars also believe that Paul is drawing on some sort of Old Testament reference or an Old Testament soldier. But regardless of what soldier he's trying to look at and make his viewers and his readers think about, we are going to look at this theme as we wrap up Ephesians. God is our source of Christian strength. Our God is the source of our Christian strength. As we begin, let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. O God, we beseech thee to maintain thy church in truth and patience, that her ministers may be faithful, her people loyal, her watchmen vigilant, her camp united, her weapons heavenly, and her warfare spiritual. Keep us standing firm always in Christ. Bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, that they may be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Satan is out to get us. Towards the beginning of today's reading, Paul warns us that we all are in a fight. Like Mark read in our introduction of our epistle reading, Paul describes this fight for us. Hear these words from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. This apostle sees underneath and behind what is human and what is sinful. Satan himself is active, and he is alive, and he is fighting. Satan is constantly out there scheming, or literally, he's methodia. That's what the Greek is. He's using this idea of using different methods to draw us away from God. He's using different things to wear you and I down so that we don't resist him and that we don't turn aside. Satan goes about it in different ways. Here's some of the popular ways that God's adversary, Satan, uses. First, he tempts us. He loves to tempt us humans to sin, like our first parents. He often starts it off with a simple temptation, one that we might just blow off and put it aside. And then he comes to us again with that temptation. It might be a little bit harder this time, but we might push it aside. And then he comes again to us and comes with us with that temptation in a way that we don't expect. Sometimes we don't even realize that we are giving into a temptation. Sometimes we might resist a little bit longer, but eventually our strength gives out. We are weak. We are tired. I don't know about you, but driving to and from Twin Falls, Idaho, after a while, it gets tiresome. It gets tiring. And when you go a little ways, you might say, I have my speed thermometer on there. But then you get stuck behind a fire in Twin Falls, right outside of Mount Home, and you have to make up time. Or you have to go a little bit faster because you're bored or tired, and you accelerate faster because you're tired or you get distracted. And then soon enough, you look down and you're going over the speed limit yet again. And for some of us, even though we have received a ticket or multiple tickets, we don't learn our lesson. We still speed. We still go faster. We still go over the posted limits. Not only does Satan tempt us, but this leads us to our second point. He also lives up to his name, Satan, quite well. He accuses us. I don't know if you know this, but the word Satan comes from the Hebrew word hasatan, which literally means accuser. He enjoys filling us followers of Jesus up with guilt and with doubt. It often occurs right after we give into that temptation that he has lured us away with to sin in. This feeling of guiltiness makes us frustrated. It makes us annoyed with ourselves. For we Christians find ourselves going through this vicious cycle like this one, right? We are tempted by Satan, and then we give in to the temptation, and after we feel that we're gratified with that temptation, we are filled with remorse and guilt, followed by a time of doubt, thinking to ourselves, we say to ourselves, we're a Christian, we know better. We know that we have done wrong against God. We know we shouldn't be doing those things. So we beat ourselves up. We feel guilt from the Holy Spirit. and we think, oh, I'm going to do better next time. The next time comes, and we do the same thing. We're tempted. We give in to the, we're accused. We feel guilt. We feel remorse. And then it happens again, and again, and again. We're in this fierce cycle that often besieges us. If that's you this morning, or if that's been you in the past, I want to say to you once more that Jesus gives us strength. He gives us strength to stand firm. Satan's accusation towards us sinners can no longer stand. You who are guilty of sin, just like me, our sin has been answered for. It has been paid in full. It has been atoned for there upon that cross 2,000 years ago when Jesus went to that cross for you and for me. Jesus gives us strength now to repel Satan's attacks. Our source of strength is not something that is found in these hands or in these arms or these legs. It is found in the Lord alone. Paul tells us, he tells those in Ephesus and tells you this morning these words. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The source of our strength, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is the Lord. Paul doesn't just say, be strong, does he? No, he says, be strong in the Lord. Paul doesn't write, put on your armor. No, he does not say that. Put on the full armor of God. God's strength is different, my friends. It is different than our worldly strength and our manly strength. The world tries to battle Satan with their strength, but no matter how much effort the world or ourselves exert, it will fail us every single time. We will fail over and over again because it is corrupted with sin. Meanwhile, when the strength is found in God, and God alone gives us that victorious warrior, he gives to us Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it is his strength that Jesus has dealt that deadly, crushing blow to our adversary. He has defeated Satan for you. And now he equips you with that strength. Jesus gives us his strength at our baptism. It is whether it was at this font, here at Grace Lutheran Church, whether it was somewhere else, whether it was at a river, a pool, wherever you were baptized in the triune God's name, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is where you were clothed with the armor of God. That is where Jesus does it. Jesus puts on us the belt of truth. In ancient times, belts in the armor were used to bind all the loose clothing together in preparation for moving quickly. Similarly, God's truth alone moves us away from the devil, the father of lies. Next, Jesus puts on us the breastplate of his righteousness. Just as in the ancient world where the breastplate was used to protect vital organs, the same is with Christ's righteousness that protects you from all the devil's deadly attacks. That is followed by Jesus puts on us the shoes on our feet, the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So in the ancient world, the Roman soldiers would wear half shoes or half leg boots studded with nails to help that soldier stand firm. The preaching of the gospel of peace prepares us and keeps us standing firm in the saving message of Jesus. That's why we hear it every week. Jesus puts on us the shield of faith. Arrows in the ancient world, I don't know if you know this, were often dipped in pitch and then lit on fire, and then they were let to cast through the heavens. They were on fire to burn the enemy. But ancient armies often would take their shields and submerge them into water before going to battle. Why were shields submerged in water? To extinguish any fiery arrow directed towards them. Talk about baptismal imagery. That talks about it. Luther, in his large catechism, wrote about the Lord's Supper this way when he says, "If you could see how many knives, darts, and arrows are aimed at you at every moment, you would be glad to come to the sacrament as often as possible." And then Jesus puts on us the helmet of his salvation. Just as helmets were used to protect the head, the salvation of Jesus protects us Christians and helps us to hold our head high with the confidence and the joy of our baptism, that our future life is in Christ. There is no more attack of Satan in the ancient world. And lastly, Jesus puts on us the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The term here that is translated as sword is actually refers to a sharp, short sword that was used for hand-to-hand combat. The Spirit gives us this Word of God, its effectiveness to fight the devil with the Word of God. And what is that word? We hear about that word in our next hymn. I don't know if you realize this. Our first distribution hymn is "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." And in that hymn, this hymnist writes these words: "One little word can fell him," aka can fall the devil. So what is that word? That word is that word that you often learn in Sunday school class. Jesus. That's the word. Jesus, the Word in flesh, the one who has defeated Satan for us, equips us with his strength, and our baptism is the one who defeats Satan for us, who is also the one who sustains you through his word and his supper today. And as Mark was reading, I forgot about one more thing. I forgot to put it on my slide this week up there. I'm sorry, Mark. I thought about it when I heard Mark read it this morning. There's one more thing that we are doing. I don't know if you know about this, but in the ancient world, there was a war cry, a yelp, a cry that the army would shout before going to battle. You and I are equipped with a war cry as well. And what is that war cry? Hear the end of today's reading. "To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that the word may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel." That is our war cry, folks. We're equipped with that war cry, praying out to our God, That is our yelp that we go before God. And what does prayer do? It realigns us with God's will and God's guidance in our lives. So as we go about our lives, and as we go about this in closing, Satan is a powerful adversary. Yes, he is. He tempts us to sin against God and doubt our faith. Yes. But Satan, he has been defeated. He has been defeated there upon that cross and by our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has defeated him for you and for me. The victory has been won. And now Jesus gives you his armor. That's why I picked this image. I don't know if you saw this, but those are all the things that you saw about the armor of God. This is what God gives to you and to me. He gives us the protection against Satan. Jesus indeed is the true source of our Christian strength. Not only for today, but for every day of our lives. And we go forward as onward Christian soldiers into this war that we fight, knowing that our victory is secure. Our victory is won because of Jesus, our Lord, that saves us. Amen. Please rise.